Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you. This week is a follow-on after John, who introduced the Holy Spirit last week. And in the next 2 weeks, we're going to continue with that series on the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to do a quick recap and just to set a background to this before I begin to talk about the passage in Galatians today. John was speaking about the Holy Spirit, and the question was, who is the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is God's gift for everyone, no longer for a particular person, for a particular time, as it was in the Old Testament, but available to everyone through the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus when he returned to heaven. The Holy Spirit, too, is he's the third person of the Trinity. Sometimes this is quite hard to get our heads around. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he comes to be in relationship with us. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he makes all that Jesus said and did alive to us today. You know, people often witness to the fact that when they've actually accepted Jesus as Saviour, suddenly, you know, the Bible comes alive. Suddenly, it begins to make sense to them. And when he comes to us, the Holy Spirit, when he's accepted and welcomed into our lives, he brings the person of Jesus to come and live within our hearts. And we become sons and daughters of the living God. He helps us to know God. He helps us to worship God and to bring glory to God. And that's the purpose of our lives in Christ, to bring glory to God. So we're adopted into the family of God and we become heirs to his kingdom. To everything that Jesus brought to us becomes, we are heirs to that kingdom, each of us loved and each of us precious in the sight of God. So how do we pursue our new life in Jesus when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us? And how can we know that the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives anyway? In this part of the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, he's trying to explain to the people there, got in a bit of a mess, they got in a bit of a muddle about the Holy Spirit, got in a bit of a muddle about lots of things, but he's explaining that within the Holy Spirit, we can look at it with two aspects. And they are distinguished by putting them into the gifts and the fruit. Next week, John is going to be speaking about the gifts, and this week I'm going to be looking at the fruit with you. I'm going to move on. I missed that one. So the fruit of the Spirit have to do with who we are and who we become as God's disciples, whereas the gifts of the Spirit are to do with what we do as his disciples, as the Spirit gifts us in our ministries. The fruit of the Spirit matter the most, much more than the gifts, because they witness to the world through us concerning the love of Jesus and his character and his kingdom purposes. And as the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, he changes us more and more into the likeness of Jesus, and that old self is left behind. It's called sanctification, and it is a life's work that God has with us, changing us ever so slowly, because we all know how hard we are to turn. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit, and they have been read out this morning. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of them quietly at work in our lives, beginning to reflect the likeness of Jesus. And without the fruit evident in our lives, any gifts that are given to us from the Holy Spirit can become like an empty clanging gong. And Paul teaches about the importance of love, saying that this is the greatest gift of the Spirit in his letter to the Corinthians. It's often read at weddings. So if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And without love in our hearts, that love that's planted there from Jesus, that same love that took him to the cross, we're no different to those in the world. We have nothing to say to anyone else. The Holy Spirit blesses us with these fruit of the Spirit to help us to be his witnesses and to go and make disciples of all nations, all of us, and to bring glory to God, because our life in Jesus is never about us. It's always about God and his kingdom. The gifts can come instantly, where God blesses us with a gift at a moment to actually bless someone else, to meet a need. But the fruit need our attention. And it's like a farmer setting seed in the spring. The harvest takes time. And the work of the Spirit in our lives takes time. But it depends very, very much on how attentive we are to our relationship with Jesus. Through prayer, through reading the Bible, and through worship. Often, as the people of God, we aren't aware of the fruit developing in our own lives, of the changes that the Holy Spirit is beginning to make in our lives. But more than likely, other people recognize those changes in us. And over the Alpha course, we've seen lives transformed. We've seen lives changed as the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in people's lives. And it's just absolutely wonderful to see God at work. Jesus said to his disciples and to us that we shall be known by our love. And without that love of God changing us and renewing us, we can't really expect the world to take notice of us and anything that we say. It's when they see Jesus at work through us, and when maybe God is doing something in someone's life, gifting us in some special way that takes the onlooker's breath away, it's then people will begin to ask questions. But it's never just the miracles, it's never just the gifts that cause people to want to know more about God. It's the two together. And Jesus tells us, he spoke a lot about vines, he spoke a lot about the natural environment in which they lived. And he said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And we all know what happens to branches when they're broken off. They wither and they die. And what Jesus is saying is that no branch can bear fruit on its own. It's the whole vine bears fruit. As individuals, we might bear some fruit in the kingdom. But how much more of God and his work amongst us are we likely to see in our midst when the whole church is bearing fruit and seeking the gifts to the glory of God and seeking to share and extend his kingdom? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It means we need to stay close to Jesus. And how does that fruit become known in our lives? You know, what does it look like? What do people see? What's it like when the people of God are full of the Holy Spirit, all bearing fruit for the kingdom? And what will we see? Is it all singing and dancing? Is it all loud and noisy? Well, not necessarily so, because the fruit of the Spirit often work quietly in people's lives. Let's look at generosity, one of the fruit of the Spirit, for a moment. And we shall see that the well of generosity, it begins to deepen in the life of the church and its people when the Holy Spirit is at work, both in financial terms and in kind. It's usually a quiet change that moves the hearts of people who are following Jesus. This year, in the first 4 months of the year together, we have responded to need in the world and given £5,000 over and above our giving. And it was given generously without anyone moaning, and it's the signs of the kingdom at work amongst us. When I was in Nottingham St Anne's Church, the congregation were very mixed, very different to here. Refugees from different parts of the world worship there. And I got to know a young mother who was a refugee from Africa. She was bright and she was on fire for God. And she didn't attend the church when she first came to Nottingham. She went to the refugee centre, which was attached to the church. It was an interesting mix going on there. And she came to the church one day because she didn't know where else to go, because her child was sick. And when she arrived, the church is always open there. Members of the church prayed for her. Some of them popped her in the car, took her to hospital with her son. They waited with her, and then they brought her back home. And it was the level of generosity and kindness that she received on that day that led her to an encounter with Jesus. So she began attending the church, and the church had a faith supper one evening. And the usual items were there. You know what it's like? The sandwiches, the quiche, sausage rolls, bought cake, biscuits, drinks. And when this young mother arrived, I saw her coming through the door, and she was pushing the pram, trying to hang on to the two children, who were like water running all over the place. And then she lifted a large stainless steel container out of the pram, full of chicken stew, African style, and she popped it onto the table. Her friends then bought an enormous basket of Nigerian flatbreads, breads and sweets. And people around, as they watched her, they were very quiet, and I felt a real sense of shame rising in my heart as I watched the generosity of this woman who in the whole church was least able to afford the offering she bought. In Acts 2, Paul says this about that early church. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. We have much to learn from our friends in different churches, in different continents. As a refugee, she had a different perspective to us in the Western world about the meaning of what it is to be rich or poor. As a refugee, to have enough to meet each day meant that anything over that was there to give away and share. Now, as Christians following Jesus, the more we are open to see God's kingdom at work in others too, our hearts will become open and will become more vulnerable to the needs of others. And by the grace of God, we'll be moved more and more to be willing to step out and to help those in need, regardless of our own needs that are personal. We'll be moved to help them to challenge injustice and poverty, and to reach out and help them in their brokenness in the name of Jesus, knowing that we can't do this on our own, but knowing that with God we can make a difference, because with him nothing is impossible. And we forget what a wonderful, great God we have on our side. Love drives everything we do as we give the Spirit freedom in our lives, and we become part of God's story here in Ripley, here and now, to bring in his kingdom. We become a holy people set apart for God to do his will and his purpose, letting his kingdom in, but living in the world, being transformed and bringing the gift of Jesus to others who don't yet know how much they are deeply loved and how precious they are to him. As we open ourselves up more and more to the work of the Spirit, we begin to notice differences more keenly, injustices, the needs of others, and it catches our hearts, and we find that we're filled with compassion, gentleness, kindness, perseverance to carry on, and love towards those in need. And we'll find ourselves, when we hear Jesus' voice, we'll be wanting to sing a different song. We'll want to change what we see for the common good, no matter what it costs. We see what Jesus sees, and we'll love with a love that he has given to us. Following Jesus always comes at a cost, and caring's never convenient. No one will ever ask you to do something when it's just the right time for you. Yet when we do care, others are blessed, and so are we too. The atmosphere, you know, the environment that's characterized by this generosity, this compassion and this gentleness and love, it energizes us. It motivates us. We can rebalance our lives, and it gives to us a fresh desire and a perseverance to want to join the countercultural movement of the disciples of Jesus that allows the story of Jesus to be told over and over and over again in different ways to different people in different circumstances. It's letting his kingdom come through us. I remember a soup run that we went on in Nottingham, and this guy who was serving on the soup run in Nottingham, he was working, and this was his rota day, and it was the end of a very busy day, and it was the end of an even busier week for him, and he said it was the very last place in the whole world that he wanted to be on this cold December night. He just wanted to go home. And yet, he did turn up, and the soup run became the one thing he needed, because it became a blessing of freedom to him, to seeing God again and finding the real joy of being about God's business, serving the poor and the homeless. We also, by the Spirit at work in us, we are noticing keenly those with a hard heart, such as the CEO of the Chanel company. You need to listen to this, because you'll never buy any Chanel perfume again if you ever do. Karl Lagerfeld, he's the CEO, and this is what he said in an interview with a journalist. "I take physical pleasure in revenge, often in a vicious way, and I'll wait as long as it takes to pay back anyone who has wronged me. And when people think it's all forgotten, I pull the chair away, maybe 10 years later. They don't even know it's me who in the end kills them. I am very dangerous for that. Do not touch me. I will most definitely touch you." And our response to the hardness of hearts, and this is not the only person in the world who feels like this, but only God can change hearts from hearts of stone like this to hearts of flesh. But with God, all things are possible. When I first read this, my sense was to pray for him and, you know, for the people who work for him at this moment in time. We become noticers of God at work. And we see him when the kingdom is beginning to grow, we're able to spot that and we're encouraged. It's in simple things when people say yes when you ask for help. And our church is very good and very generous in giving their time and their effort and just putting their own things aside for a while to help in all sorts of ways with all sorts of people. I hear yes far more than I hear now. The kingdom of God is at work among us, and we need to be encouraged, because it's not about being perfect, all of us, or feeling guilty about who we aren't today. We'll all struggle with that. But the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us on our own. The old self will come back from time to time. You are not allowed to talk to my husband today about that. It's that this new way of living involves a conscious decision, an intentional decision to keep dying to the old self. All that selfishness that just suddenly comes to the surface, so that we can live our new lives in Christ together, following Jesus. We are already new people in Jesus, loved and forgiven, and we don't need to live in fear anymore. And God is on our side. You know, God is wanting to invade our town and our nation with the power of his Spirit. And he wants to begin with you and with me. He wants to plant his own love, his own compassion in our hearts, that will change our whole purpose of living, not just on Sundays, but every single day. And it starts with prayer and it ends with prayer, because it's there that we build our relationship with God. It's there that we become rooted in Jesus. And it's not necessarily about busyness. It's about moving from a place of rest in Jesus, waiting to hear his voice, and then to go. And as a church, we have a real sense that God is calling us out. He's doing a new thing among us. God wants all of us to be involved, because we haven't been this way before as a church. But as we follow Jesus together, we shall be amazed. We'll be amazed at the goodness of God that we see and his power at work in and through us. And here's the thing. Discouragement for each of us is only 5 minutes away. But together, we can encourage each other in the days ahead to keep going, to look at what the Lord is doing and not what he isn't doing. It's so easy to moan. It's so easy to start feeling, ooh, you know, nothing's happening. It's not right. But to look and to praise God for every good thing that we see, that we know is from him. And there is strength in unity. And there's also accountability for each one of us to say, how are you doing? And for each one of us to say, actually, today is it's not a good day today. Because we're not living on the mountaintop all the time. And that's why God calls us together as family. And what God pours into the house must be released to be a blessing. Otherwise, it will just die. It must be released and given to others and given away. And God is calling us to make himself known to this generation. We've had a call to pray for our nation. A call to be specific, to write down 5 people we long to know to come to Jesus. I can do that easily. I don't need to go any further than my family. I could write a list of 20, but I'm going to write the 5 down, and I'm going to pray that God will pour his love into their lives, and I'm going to pray these people into the kingdom, and I'm going to trust God for them. So let's commit as a church, as a family of God here, to come together and to pray for our nation, for our 5 people, and experience restoration. Let's experience revival in our time, not in 2 decades' time. I don't want to be talking anymore about revivals of the past. There's a sense that God is really on the move. And if we step into the river together, we shall see God's kingdom come. Can we believe for Ripley to be turned to God as a church? And if we can, let's pray. Let's ask God to begin with us and fill us again with his love. Pour in his compassion into our lives, his kindness, his gentleness, and the grace that comes from encountering Jesus afresh. It cannot be quietened. We will not want to be quiet all week. We shall want to share. We shall want to reach out. And we will want to see more and more God's kingdom come. Let's ask God to begin with us and fill us again with his love. His power too. It's no good being nice people without the power of God within us. And stepping into that power as he just blesses us with it in moments when we really need something extra. We know we run out of our own steam. But we have this wonderful God, and he will not disappoint us. So let's take heart too, that when we walk into a room, Jesus walks with us. We're never on our own. And he is so much greater than us, and so much more loving. And a moment with Jesus, a touch of Jesus, changes everything. So let's pray that dream that sees not only Ripley turning to God, but the whole of this nation. Because the world is hungry for grace. And it's only hope found in Jesus that will turn this nation back to God. And we shall be a nation that rejoices and cares for each other.